everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Pile Driver Podcast. It is me, Eric Vasquez, the editor-in-chief of thewrestlingchronicle.com. That is the website that brings you this podcast. And this is episode 118 of this wonderful podcast that I do here. Again, thank you for everyone who's been tuning into the last couple of shows. They've been excellent, well-received, and a lot of fun doing. And we're going to continue rolling with that, as you know. It is Tuesday right now, 4:31, April 4th. We are just a couple hours removed from the Raw after WrestleMania, which is probably one of the biggest days of the year in terms of WWE and what they do. Probably the second busiest or biggest behind WrestleMania. And that's because everything sort of starts anew. And not only that, but it's the one opportunities that since it... holds everyone from the WrestleMania festivities. They all come in and see Raw and most likely SmackDown tonight as well. The crowds have been known to be a little bit rowdy, a little bit more rambunctious, a little bit more vocal about WWE and what's going on in Raw. And last night did not disappoint. So I'm going to be breaking down everything that happened last night, amongst other things, and talking about different things that are going on with the podcast that we're setting up. So why don't we just get right to it? We had a couple people, send in their feedback on a couple of the shows as well as WrestleMania as a whole. So we'll be getting that through to that as well. But like I said, it's the Raw after WrestleMania. It's the loudest, most rambunctious crowd that you can get every year, because it's not only just people in the area that come out to see Raw. It's everybody still left over from WrestleMania, so you have a bunch of different people from different countries getting in on the action, and it's been known to be a little bit more raucous, a little bit more fan vocal. People get involved, and they like to chant things, obviously things that don't make sense. Now, beach balls have been a mainstay when it comes to the Raw after WrestleMania, and arguably since the WrestleMania that just passed, had a lot of big moments and a lot of big things happen. This crowd did not disappoint. Raw started out with almost like a 5-minute ovation for The Undertaker, with the crowd chanting Undertaker, which I thought was really cool. The crowd just did not relent. They didn't get any quieter. They kept the noise up, and it was almost like a 5-minute ovation for The Undertaker. That was pretty neat to see, and it was all thank you, Taker, Undertaker, things like that. Now, towards the middle part of the ovation, the Undertaker chants became half Undertaker chants and half Roman sucks chants, which was very interesting and very funny, because obviously when you quote-unquote retire, arguably one of the most popular superstars in WWE, you're going to get some backlash from the fans. So that's exactly what he expected. So it became Undertaker for the majority of the ovation, and then it kind of dissipated into Undertaker and Roman sucks chants. And that's where I was wondering if they're going to open the show with the Undertaker coming out to say maybe a final goodbye, or what are they going to do with that? So we got our answer pretty quickly, because as the chants did not let up, out comes the man of the hour, Roman Reigns. And this is probably the loudest I've ever heard anyone, whether a good guy or a bad guy, get booed. Not only to start Raw, just in general, this was the loudest I've ever heard a reaction like that ever. In at least a good while. So that was pretty interesting to see. And what I was looking to see is, are they going to go forward with this? Are they going to use that sort of reaction to kind of tweak the character of Roman Reigns a little bit? So that was interesting to see. But he comes down to the ring, and it's extremely loud. The crowd is just spewing all types of hate at him. He takes a really, really sweet time to get to the ring, kind of just soaking up all the electricity in the area. And he finally gets to the ring. Now he goes to grab a microphone, and the crowd is just not letting up. Not only are they not letting up, every time he goes to speak, they get louder with their boos, they get louder with their chants. And at first it was, you could tell it was kind of cute to Roman, and then after a while he kind of got a little bit annoyed. And it was just one of those things, like literally every time he went to go raise the microphone to say something, you know, they just wouldn't let him. And it was honestly one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in quite some time when it comes to WWE programming. Like I said on Twitter, you can't buy that sort of reaction. You can't bottle that up. And there's probably wrestlers all over the world who depend on a reaction from the fans to kind of get themselves over. And those guys are probably trying to figure out a way that they could buy that sort of reaction that Roman Reigns is getting. So if I was Roman Reigns, I wouldn't even let the negativity and all the angry people say stuff about me, because they're the ones still giving you a reaction. And I think Roman kind of understands that nowadays, is that like, people who don't like you for whatever reason, they're not going to like you. You're never going to deter them from that. So they're just going to act the way they want, and you're still getting a reaction from them. So really, it means that they still care. This goes on, this whole thing goes on about for an extra 5 minutes, and Roman finally gets fed up, raises the mic and says, "This is my yard now," and just drop the mics and leaves. And the crowd is pissed. And that's how we open our brawl last night, which was very cool. It was in Orlando, obviously, for WrestleMania at the Amway Center, where they held the NXT TakeOver Orlando special. You could also check out the recap for that over here on the feed for the Piledriver podcast. Please do, because that would be awesome. But that was a very, very cool way to kick off Raw. Now, right off the bat, we get our first big, I don't want to say surprise, but our first big moment of the night when Gallows and Anderson invoked their rematch clause against the new Raw Tag Team Champions, the Hardys. And this is kind of cool because it's been a while, obviously, since the Hardys were on Raw. It's been a while since the Hardys have been on WWE programming. And not only that, but they re-debut as the Tag Team Champions, which was pretty cool. As far as the match, it was pretty good match. The Gallows and Anderson, or actually the Hardys, dominated the beginning of the match. You know, very early on, they took control of the match. Now, after a Twist of Fate block, the Hardys get sent out to the outside by Gallows and Anderson. And then we go to commercial break. So back from break with Gallows and Anderson now on offense. Matt is the one in the ring, and he's getting worked over pretty good by Gallows and Anderson. So this kind of sets off a hot tag for his brother Jeff. And when that hot tag happens, Jeff comes in like a house on fire, just basically clears the ring of everyone for a big moment to kind of get the crowd riled up. And Jeff even goes one step farther, using the steel steps to execute his own like sort of poetry in motion. So instead of jumping off Matt's back, he's jumping off a set of steel stairs, which was pretty cool. But then there was a distraction that led Gallows and Anderson to take over. They ended up hitting the Boot of Doom, but that only gets them a two count. Now they go to a setup for the Magic Killer, and that gets broken up by Matt. And then we get a Twist of Fate from Jeff, and for good measure, a Twist of Fate from Matt. And then we get a Swanton Bomb from Jeff Hardy, which we haven't seen in a very long time, which the crowd was excited for. And they get the win to retain their tag team championships. So pretty cool to see the Hardys back on Raw. Interested in seeing what they were going to do. Now, a lot of people wanted to know, you know, is it going to be just the Hardy Boys, or is it going to be this broken Matt Hardy gimmick? And things of that. That's what people were most paying attention to. It looks like the Hardy Boys for now are going to just strictly stay as the Hardy Boys and be just their regular selves. That means no broken Matt Hardy gimmick. And that's probably due to the ongoing trademark legal battle that the Hardys are having with TNA and not being able to use the broken Matt Hardy gimmick because of trademark issues. So that kind of sucks because, I mean, obviously everybody is glad that the Hardy Boys are back on WWE TV. But, you know, honestly, a driving force of their popularity as of late was the broken gimmick. And I bet people wanted to see how that was going to translate on WWE TV. Whether it does or not, we don't know for sure. Once they get the legal situation sorted out, I'm sure that we would get something else. Or you know, just that exact same thing. So it might take a while. So let's see what happens from there. But as far as the match, it was a very good match. Hardys looked a little bit gassed, but in their defense, they had a very busy weekend. Not only with WrestleMania, but obviously they were on other shows, including Ring of Honor's Supercard of Honor, where they had a ladder match against the Young Bucks. So safe to say they were Definitely feeling all the craziness of the weekend, and it kind of showed, but in their defense, they were very busy, so, you know, it's nothing to hold against them. Afterwards, we get a cruiserweight match between Neville and Mustafa Ali. Neville was cutting a pre-match promo when Mustafa Ali interrupted him. Ali hits Neville with a kick, sending him to the outside. Now, he hits a corner crossbody to the outside. He kind of does this, like a crossbody where he leaps off the turnbuckle. He doesn't necessarily hit it clean, but he does enough damage. But Neville takes over from there and throws Ali back outside before the commercial break. Now, back from the break, Neville's in control, but Ali is able to fight back and get a comeback in. Ali hits that roll-in neck breaker where he goes and he floats in from the outside and hits a neck breaker. Doesn't get much, so Neville's back on offense. Neville, at that point, probably is a little annoyed at the crowd because this is when they got riled up, started doing their thing. So to, I guess, fight back at the crowd, he hits Ali with a vicious, vicious lariat, sending him inside out, flipping over. And this is when the crowd gets even more amped and starts tossing around a beach ball and start chanting Beach Ball Mania, which was pretty funny. So going back to the match, which I thought this was really cool. Ali kind of gets the crowd back into the match by hitting his springboard Spanish fly. And that really got the crowd off their feet, onto their feet, off their seats, and kind of shifted the focus back into the match. Both men had a little back and forth exchange with some strikes, which ended up with Ali hitting a satellite DDT, spiking Neville's head into the mat, which was pretty cool. Ali looks to take advantage of that and goes to hit his patented inverted 450, but this time there was no water in the pool and he ends up missing completely. Neville takes advantage, heads to the top, and does what he did at WrestleMania, which is when you've thrown out your entire arsenal and nothing's left, hit him with that red arrow, which Neville does, and he gets the three count for the win. This was a very, very good match, so much so that this may propel 205 Live into almost must-see TV. Definitely put Ali on the map for casual WWE fans, and not to mention that the crowd was just outrageously loud and cheering and ready to go. Another point that I wanted to make was that commentary did a wonderful job of balancing the action and acknowledging the craziness of the crowd. We all know Raw after Mania, when it started propelling into this raucous sort of thing that would happen after each WrestleMania, commentary didn't know how to take it. But I think this year, now that they've been expecting it, they can kind of pick and choose. And so they did a great job of acknowledging the craziness of the crowd and some of the chants that had nothing to do with the match, and also calling the action in the ring and not missing a step with a great match. We head to the backstage. And guess who's in attendance tonight and is on their way to the ring? And that is the chairman of the board, Mr. Vince McMahon, who heads down to the ring and comes out to a crazy ovation. Obviously, everybody's, you know, hyped up, so they start singing his entrance theme, and he's obviously soaking it in. And you kind of wonder why he's out there. So obviously McMahon takes the time to thank the crowd for everything over the weekend with WrestleMania. He's very appreciative. He wanted to give us a little bit of footage and kind of, you know, give his thoughts on that sort of stuff. He shows the footage from WrestleMania with Stephanie going through the table during the Seth Rollins Triple H match. Obviously, I don't know if you listened to the recap, but going back to WrestleMania, this spot happened during the Triple H Seth Rollins match. Triple H went to attack Rollins. Rollins ducks. Triple H almost goes into Stephanie, who was standing on the outside of the ring on the apron. Triple H turns around and gets super kicked right in the face and ends up banging into Stephanie off the rebound. She falls off the apron and goes crashing into a table. So he wanted to show that footage. And obviously, being Stephanie, the crowd was definitely happy to see it. Definitely got a rousing ovation out of them watching that footage over again. And Vince McMahon is actually pretty pissed off at the crowd. He's like, "What's wrong with you people? Don't you have a heart? Don't you have a soul?" All that stuff. So he's pretty pissed. So once the anger wears off, he tells us that it's time. Now that Raw doesn't have a GM, being that Mick Foley was fired and the commissioner was sent through the table, it's time to shake things up a bit. So it seems like next week, here's the plan. It looks like we're going to get what he called a little superstar shakeup. All right. It most likely involves people going from Raw to SmackDown and vice versa, SmackDown to Raw. Maybe some trade action. This will be very interesting to see how they work this. It won't be a draft per se, but it'll be more like, we'll trade you this guy for this guy. Protect this guy. This is the guy you can't take from us. So that's actually pretty fun. Something different that I'm very much looking forward to. I want to see how this all plays out. But being that we no longer have Mick Foley and Stephanie might be out while with this quote-unquote injury, it's time for a new general manager for Raw. As that happens, who comes out? Arguably the greatest general manager in all of SmackDown history, Teddy Long. Obviously, the crowd's hot. Teddy's dancing, doing the Teddy Long thing. But McMahon's not too happy. He makes him cut the music and he goes, Teddy, it's not you. And Teddy's surprised because he certainly thought it was. I thought it was. And Teddy goes, whoops, my bad. Gets out of there. And it's time to find out who the next GM of Monday Night Raw will be. After a little bit of delay, we find out who that is. And that is the Olympic gold medalist and newly inducted Hall of Famer, Kurt Angle, is the new general manager of Raw. He comes out to a wonderful ovation from the crowd. He's in there kind of just soaking it in. And you can tell he's happy to be there. And it didn't take long for him to actually have to insert himself as the GM and make things happen. But we'll get to that in a little bit. After that whole great ovation for Angle and him being introduced as the GM, the New Day comes out. And they issue a open challenge, being that they weren't included in the WrestleMania Raw Tag Team match due to their hosting duties. They were a little upset. They said they enjoyed doing the hosting thing, but they'd much rather get things done in the ring. So they issue an open challenge to any team to come out and take them on. And who answers the challenge? None other than Scott Dawson, Dash Wilder, the two-time NXT Tag Team Champions, arguably the greatest tag team in NXT history at this point, The Revival. That's right, The Revival have been called up, and they have made their debut last night on Monday Night Raw, and they have a match with The New Day. The Revival starts the offense off for most of the beginning of the match before a commercial break. We come back from commercial break to have the Revival on offense still. They do a really good job working over Xavier Woods before he gets the hot tag to Big E. Now, when Big E comes in there, he cleans house. He gets them over on top, and he does his patented spear to the outside. Looks bad every single time that he does it. I wish he didn't do it because I'm fully expecting for him to break his neck one day, and I hope that doesn't happen, knock on wood. But he does the spear dive to the outside. Woods gets the blind tag. We have a back and forth exchange from Xavier Woods and Scott Dawson. Dash blind tags in. Woods attempts the honor roll where he does that front flip into, I guess, a clothesline or something of that nature. But he ends up getting caught and hit with Shatter Machine, the Revival's finisher, which is sort of like an assisted a lung blower, almost kind of front face lung blower. If you're not familiar with NXT, you should probably get on that, and you probably missed a lot of good stuff from the Revival. The Revival hit the Shatter Machine and get the win over the longest reigning Raw Tag Team Champions, or longest reigning WWE Tag Team Champions in company history. So it's a great way to debut. You got to see a little bit of what the Revival is about. They're if you don't check out NXT, they're more of a old school sort of tag team, more like the Brainbusters, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, guys like that using dirty underhanded tactics. A lot of great tandem, I don't want to say offense, but a really, really crisp tag team. They're really fundamentally sound tag team. One of those tag teams that could have had fantastic matches with any tag team from the golden age of wrestling or the least modern age of wrestling. Just one of those types of teams, which I think is fun. And not only that, but they're very charismatic and they know how to get things done on the microphone. To me, you couldn't have wrote up a debut for a team better than that. Now, after the match, the Revival attacked Kofi, who wasn't involved in the tag team match. This was between Woods and Xavier Woods and Big E. So they go attack Kofi, and they lock his ankle up in a submission, and Dawson comes off the top rope, smashing the ankle, stomping on it, which obviously hyperextends it, and Kofi is in agony in some sort of pain. Now, that actually has become the calling card for the Revival. They've done that on Big Cass and various other tag teams on the NXT circuit, so it's cool that they brought that back up. Kind of mean that they did it to Kofi, so I'm interested in seeing where the Revival go in the tag team division here. Now, this is the crazy part. Over the weekend, Raw side ends up adding the Hardy Boys to the tag team division, and now the Revival. So you have the Hardys, the Revival, which will probably be a phenomenal tag match if they build a feud around that. That'll be good to see, but you still have Gallows and Anderson in the mix. You have Enzo and Big Cass. Sheamus and Cesaro seem to have gelled perfectly as a team, that they are a tag team. They are not singles competitors that have become a tag team anymore. They seem to be on the same page. Synchronicity between those two guys. So Raw has become a very, very strong tag team division. And it's interesting where they're going to go forward here now that the Revival and the Hardys are now in the division as well. So moving on, we have Kurt Angle in his office, and he gets introduced to Enzo and Cass, which was funny. They're pretty pissed off about the tag division because they went in thinking that their WrestleMania match was going to be a triple threat ladder match, and it ended up being a four-way match, and they weren't able to prepare. And not only that, it seems like all these other teams have come in, and they're starting to take over the division, and Enzo and Cass kind of feel left out. But when they introduce themselves, they kind of go through their whole bit, you know, the realest guys in the room, and Kurt Angle, you know, he's kind of, we have to pretend that this is the first time he's seen this bit, and, it concludes, with Kurt Angle saying, well, if you want a shot at the titles, if you want a legit real shot, a fair shot, you're gonna have to earn it. That's the way they do things here on Raw. So in order to, earn that number one contendership for the tag team titles, they would have to take on another team, and that team is Sheamus and Cesaro, which would happen later on that night. Enzo and Cass do their whole soft bit, and then you get a funny line from Kurt Angle, kind of a glimpse into the old, very funny Kurt Angle, where he goes, "That's not how you spell soft." And obviously the crowd loved that. You know, anyone at home probably loved it as well. It's good to see, like, you get a glimpse of the Kurt Angle you didn't see in places like TNA or anything else. Just the entertaining side of Kurt Angle, you can only get that on WWE TV, so that was cool. Moving on back into the ring, we have a six-woman tag match between Dana Brooke, Bayley, and Sasha Banks. They take on Nia Jax, Charlotte Flair, and the returning Emma. And it looks like Emma's back, and she's actually going to be doing something in the ring, not just saying something and then going away. She kind of re-debuted in a very interesting fashion. Her music hits, and she just shows up on top of the commentary table and rips off her vest gimmick or whatever it is before coming down to the ring. So I thought that was a very interesting way to kind of get all eyes on Emma, which was pretty interesting. Emma and Dana start off the action. They have a back and forth exchange. Emma wants to take her chance against Bayley. So Bayley tags in. Now Emma takes control, but Bayley makes a brief comeback, and we go to commercial break. Now back from commercial break, and Bayley's getting worked over good by the other team. Not just Emma, all three women are working over Bayley pretty good. Bayley shoves Charlotte out and goes to tag Sasha, but Sasha gets pulled off by Charlotte, who went around the outside and yanked her off the apron, so that ruins that tag. But she finally does get a tag to Sasha, and chaos goes crazy. Now, one thing I do want to admit that I took, that I kind of observed when I saw there, it seems like Sasha's finally figuring out how to work it where she doesn't have to go 100 miles an hour every single time. She can kind of do it like an ebb and flow, figuring out the spots to go hard, kind of take the action back, control the pacing of the match. You know, you can see that she's starting to learn that, and that's why everything that she was doing in the match last night was a little bit crisper. You know, there wasn't any hiccups or anything. So she's starting to get to that level where Charlotte's at that makes Charlotte one of the best, you know, male, female on the roster. It doesn't matter. Charlotte is easily in, I'd say, the top five. And that's because she figured out a way to what the insiders call work. You know, it's not all just hitting your moves, going, you know, 100 miles an hour. It's pacing. It's figuring out when to go hard, when to let a little back, when to give your opponent some shine. And you see that Sasha's trying to figure that out. Or she's starting to figure that out, really getting her foot in there. So it's going to be interesting to see if Sasha can elevate her game and get to the level that Charlotte's at. But again, everything goes nuts from there. Now, Charlotte attempts the natural selection while the referee is kind of relegating the issues on the outside. Sasha blocks it, and she's able to reverse it into the bank statement submission. Charlotte taps. Big moment for Sasha, and this kind of maybe puts Sasha in line for a number one contendership spot against Bayley for the tag team, for the Raw Women's Championship. And that should be good because we all know what they're capable of. You know, we've seen it in NXT countless number of times. And all it needs really is the go-ahead, not only to do the match, but obviously they need time. If they give them time, Bayley and Sasha is worthy of putting on one of the best matches of the year. No doubt about that. Now, after the match, a pissed off Charlotte blames Nia and Emma for the loss and begins to shove both women. She shoves Emma and then she shoves Nia. Now, shoving Nia, that was a bad idea. Nia squashes Charlotte in the corner, then hits her with a big elbow, leaving her flattened in the ring as she makes her exit. Emma didn't want to get involved. She wanted no parts of that. She was not about that life. As soon as things started to pop off, she got out of there quickly. So maybe we'll get something. Not only will we possibly get a Bayley-Sasha program, but we could get a Nia-Charlotte program, which is very interesting. Does this turn Nia into a good, give them good graces with the fans? Or are they going to turn Sasha and give her the good graces with the fans? Very interesting going on there. A lot of layers, a lot of things to pay attention to when it comes to the Raw Women's Division. Now, there was a good, I don't want to say discussion, but somebody brought up a good sort of something that made you think. You know, it's been ever since the Raw and SmackDown brand split. There's been some rumblings that, you know, SmackDown in terms of quality is better. But if you look at what went down at WrestleMania, the quality of the Raw matches surpassed the quality of the SmackDown matches. And that's not saying that SmackDown was bad. It's just that SmackDown started off hot. Raw really struggled to get their footing as far as the brand split was going. And SmackDown sort of took off and ran with it. But now Raw is starting to not gain that momentum, but starting to catch up to SmackDown and catching up to where SmackDown's at. So if you get both shows that are constantly putting out great stories and things of that nature, it's going to be a really good year for WWE in terms of the quality of their WWE programming. But moving on, we're back in the Angle's office, and he's there talking with Sami Zayn, who's absolutely talking his ear off about his relationship with Mick Foley and how much Stephanie McMahon didn't like him, and she kind of had it out for him. And you could tell Angle's just like, hey, dude, all right, I get it. Don't worry. It's good. But Sami, you know, just Sami's just kind of talking his ear off. They get interrupted by Jinder Mahal, and Jinder and Zayn get into a shouting match, and a frustrated Angle's just like, hey, take your differences, go to the ring, and settle them there, which they both agreed, and I'm sure Angle's just glad to get both men out of his office. Back to the ring with none other than the new Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar, who comes out to a raucous ovation. Paul Heyman does this thing where he does, you know, he's the advocate for now the reigning, defending, and undisputed Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar. The crowd's 100% behind him, and that sort of deal, you can see Brock looks over at Paul and points to his arm, you know, and signaling that it kind of gave him goosebumps to hear that sort of reaction, which I thought was really neat because it's Brock Lesnar. You know, a lot of times we hear, you know, he just is there for the money. He doesn't really care about what's going on. He just wants to beat people up, make a quick buck, and he's out of there, which is probably the case, but it's good to see people like him who didn't really care about that sort of stuff kind of get taken aback by the reaction that he gets. It's cool to see, like, the real Brock Lesnar, even if it was just for, like, a second and a half. To me, I thought that was pretty neat. Heyman takes the whole Goldberg-Brock Lesnar saga and turns it into a bedtime story that he and Brock Lesnar tell to their children at night. And that gets turned into Heyman laying down the challenge to Roman. And he's laying down the challenge to Roman because now Roman thinks that because he retired The Undertaker, that now he's the big dog. But if you're the big dog of the WWE, don't you need a title? In this case, wouldn't you need the Universal title? He doesn't have the Universal title. Who's the one that has the Universal title? Brock Lesnar. Now, when he lays down the challenge to Roman Reigns, the crowd starts to boo incessantly. I don't know if that's necessarily a boo because they don't like Roman Reigns that much, or is it a boo because they don't really want to see Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar? Hard to tell with the crowd, hard to tell with what they're doing with Roman, if that was the direction they were going, but they were booing very loudly. They actually started chanting, "We want Balor," which was very interesting. I would like to see a Brock Lesnar-Finn Balor match, but that's what they were going. Heyman challenges Roman, but Roman doesn't come out. You know who does come out? Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman comes out to the ring, gets face-to-face with Lesnar, and basically tells him flat out, Braun's coming after that belt. Brock lays him down on the ground and says, let's go. But Braun does a smart thing, says he's going to do it on his time, and exits the ring. But seeing that moment, seeing just Braun and Brock Lesnar face-to-face, knowing the chaos that these men can create, I've never wanted to see something as bad as Braun versus Brock Lesnar. Make it no disqualification, false count anywhere, no holds bar. Do something where these men can just flat out beat the shit out of each other. And I'm telling you, WWE doing that can make a lot of money. So hopefully we get to see that eventually at some point. We go backstage where Chris Jericho is with, I believe, Charlie Caruso. And White Today says Orlando is the perfect place and this crowd is his crowd. He does his little, you know, pandering pop for the crowd and they go crazy. Jericho says he has a beef with the tip of Kevin Owens' finger. Obviously, after he hit him with that code breaker at WrestleMania, Kevin was too far from the ropes to break up the count per se. He was able to break the count using the finger, the tip of his finger, putting it on the ropes to break up the count. And Jericho has a beef with that. And in doing so, what does Jericho do with something he has a beef with? He puts it on the list. So he puts Kevin Owens, not the finger, the tip of his finger, on the list, which was very funny. But it wasn't funny to Kevin Owens, who comes in and just starts beating the holy hell out of Chris Jericho. They go end up fighting throughout the backstage area, and out of nowhere, here comes Samoa Joe to join in on the fray, and Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe beat up on Chris Jericho pretty good, so good that they powerbombed him through a table. And now this is difficult because the main event of the night was supposed to be Seth Rollins and Chris Jericho versus Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens. Now, we'll see how that happens, but really doesn't happen. Angle informs Rollins that Y2J is in no shape to compete, but Angle promises Seth that he's going to find him a partner. So the match is still going to happen. Angle just has to find Seth a partner, so nobody knows what's going to happen there. We get the tag team match for the number one contendership to the Raw Tag Team titles. That is Enzo and Cass versus Cesaro and Sheamus. Sheamus, his face is in pretty bad shape. He's all busted up. Now, the Raw before WrestleMania, which kind of propelled this match into being a ladder match, When Gallows and Anderson brought out the ladder and they started fighting and everything, they busted up Sheamus pretty bad where he needed 16 stitches. And the ladder match at WrestleMania really didn't do him all any favors. His face got busted up even more. Maybe that's what caused him to be a little bit flustered because he had a couple missteps and he almost killed himself on the top rope. But he was able to rebound just fine. Enzo and Cass take over on the match. They're going into a commercial break. Now we're back from a commercial break with Sheamus on top. Sheamus and Cesaro are working really well together. As I said before, they're a more cohesive tag team, a more in-sync tag team. And it shows because their tag team offense was very, very good. They kept each opponent on their side of the ring. And frequent tags is what you would see out of a good tag team. So it's good to see that they're working well together. They're working over Enzo until he ducks. He shoves Cesaro out of the ring. And now the action spills outside. We reconvene in the ring. And Cesaro gets a big swing on Enzo. Not the traditional type of swing. But Enzo is so light for someone like Cesaro, who is so strong, that he doesn't have to grab the opponent by the ankles. He can actually set his arms underneath the kneecaps, behind the knees, and swing away, which is what he's able to do. He gets a big swing on Enzo, but Cass comes in and cleans house and he dominates, setting up for the finish, which is the assisted big splash coming off the top rope, Enzo. But as they're about to set up for that, Sheamus comes in and he broke kicks Cass in the face, takes Enzo, who is still on the top ropes, shoves him into an oncoming European uppercut from Cesaro, and they get the win. So it looks like Sheamus and Cesaro are the new number one contenders for the Raw Tag Team titles. They'll be going up against the Hardy Boys. When that will happen, don't know. It'll be sometime soon, obviously. Either way, I'm looking forward to that match as well. As far as the crowd was really behind Sheamus and Cesaro. And, you know, sure, it has the WrestleMania, over effect with the crowd. But that massive carryover effect in this case can definitely help them going forward. It'll help their popularity with the casual audience, being that there are so many people that were there last night that were really behind Sheamus and Cesaro. I feel like that'll help their popularity going forward, in other places getting away from WrestleMania. Gotta take a swig of water here. We have Jinder Mahal versus Sami Zayn. Now, I made the note that I wanted to bring up. I'm pretty sure that this is the most we've seen Jinder Mahal than his entire run in WWE the first time. As I said in the WrestleMania recap, I don't know who or what sort of favor Jinder Mahal owes someone, or if they got some dirt on him, or he's got some dirt on somebody else, but we're definitely seeing more of Jinder than what we're used to. I don't know if it's because of his whole body transformation. I don't know what's going on, but we're definitely seeing a lot of Jinder, definitely more than what we used to. Jinder definitely got in the bad side of the crowd, because he interrupted Sami Zayn's entrance, which is a very fan-friendly, fan interaction sort of type of entrance. And Jinder Mahal didn't really get in the good graces with the fans when he interrupted them. Other than that, you know, it was a pretty basic match, nothing too crazy. Jinder Mahal got a lot of offense in, until he got caught with an exploder suplex into the corner, which sets up the Huluva kick from Sami, and Sami Zayn gets the win. So it's good to see Sami get a win and not get berated by Stephanie McMahon, as he usually does, as a lot of the male talent does. It's announced, just like we talked about earlier, that the Superstar Shakeup will happen next week. What does that entail? No, I don't think there has been many details in terms of what that is, but I'm guessing it's some sort of deal where, you know, one side will be able to trade or acquire another person from the other side and things of that nature. So it's time for the main event of the evening, the main event of Raw after WrestleMania. Now the big thing is, going in, who's going to step in for Chris Jericho and step in and take his place in this match because of the beatdown that he suffered from Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe. Waiting and waiting, come to find out, it is the returning Finn Balor. Finn Balor is back, ladies and gentlemen. And he gets a tremendous ovation. That is something I definitely want to talk about once we're done the Raw wrap-up. But the crowd was just going bananas. And also, there was a lot of good stuff in terms of commentary. What they brought up, and they really hammered home all of this. And I thought it was great because it intertwines NXT with the current WWE main roster. Alright, and that's basically this. All four men, at one point or another, were the NXT champion. Seth Rollins being the very first. Samoa Joe was champion. Kevin Owens is the champion, and so is Finn Balor. Here's another interesting thing. Finn Balor won his first NXT championship against Kevin Owens. Right? That's another great story right there. Hold up, I'm trying not to hurt my dog here who decides to stay underneath me. But you had a ton of interesting stories there. You had the rivalry between Finn Balor and Samoa Joe during NXT. You know, and then you had, not only that, but you had Seth Rollins in the match, who was the man that injured Finn Balor and kept him out for the majority of the year, since August. And being so, he had to relinquish the title. So not only do you have all former NXT champions in the ring, you have Finn Balor, who had a great rivalry with not only Kevin Owens, but also Samoa Joe. And you have Seth Rollins in the match, who was the man that took out Finn Balor at last year's SummerSlam. I was about to say Super Slam. Can you imagine that? I almost said Super Slam. Holy Moses. That's how crazy this was. But anyway, back to the match. Like I said, there were so many great intertwined stories there. Owens and Joe working over Rollins. Balor's comes in and he just goes, he's like a madman. He looks great. He just looks like he was just like itching to get back in the ring. Everything he did, whether it was running the ropes or hitting a strike, looked like it was meant with intent, with purpose, made it look real, and that was great to see from Finn Balor. Rollins gets back in the match and does even more damage to his knee, diving to the outside like a madman. Owens attacks the knee and takes over from there. And Rollins gets worked over really, really, really good in there. Rollins goes to tag Finn Balor, but gets cut off, and he gets caught in the coquina clutch. But Rollins is able to get the tag to Finn, and like I said, he comes in again, once again, like a house on fire, just completely killing it in there, killing anything that moves. Balor attempts a delayed dropkick, but Joe cuts him off and puts him in the clutch. And then this was, things got a little crazy. As Joe has him in the clutch, Rollins comes off the top rope, hits the knee to Joe, allowing Balor to escape. Kevin Owens hits Seth Rollins with a super kick. And now we get a shotgun drop kick from Balor, sending, I can't remember if it was Joe or Owens. I believe it was Owens. He hits Owens with the shotgun drop kick, and then hits the coup de grace. And Balor has pinned Kevin Owens, his first match back on Raw, and he gets a W for his team. Great moment. Again, the crowd was hot for the entire match. It was a great way to end the night, a perfect main event, a perfect tag main event to end Raw, and it was a lot of fun, and the show closes with both men celebrating. A little tense moment. They looked at each other, and you can kind of see why they were looking at each other, like, yeah, you're the guy that put me out of action, but, you know, Rollins does the respect thing and raises Balor's hand for the crowd, and that's how the show closes. In terms of the show overall, this was a phenomenal Raw. I wish we can get a Raw like this every week, but I know that's not possible. But, I mean, the crowd was into it. And this is what was cool about the crowd. It was the usual raucous, loud, rambunctious WrestleMania crowd. But they didn't go out there to, in terms of like hijacking the show. They just wanted to have fun. It wasn't like if something was boring or they weren't into something, we're going to, you know, boo it incessantly and make up chants to make these people feel bad. No, they were still in tune with the action and still in tune with everything that were going on. And they were able to have fun with it, you know, in between, which was really cool. So if we can get a WrestleMania like crowd like that every year, you know, it'll be a good Raw after WrestleMania every year. If we can get just, you know, 3/4 of that energy into every Raw crowd, every Raw in terms of the crowd participation would be great. And that's what people have to understand when it comes to being in the crowd. The crowd sort of amplifies everything. You look back at the Attitude Era, and trust me, I'm not an Attitude Era guy. I'm not one of those guys that say, you know, we need to bring back the edginess or, you know, the Attitude Era. Trust me, I don't want to see the Attitude Era. But look at the crowds. Look at how rambunctious they were for everything. It didn't matter who was coming out. Everyone got a reaction one way or another. You know, there's tons of signs in the audience and everything like that. And that's reminiscent of what we get. But we only get it the Raw after WrestleMania. Like I said, we could take half of that energy. And if we gave it to every crowd, in terms of the crowd adding to the program, it would happen. So, just, you know, fair, you know, advice to everyone. Go out there, have fun. Don't try to be that guy who tries to hijack it so he can make everyone in his section laugh. But yeah, shout out to the Orlando crowd for making the Raw after WrestleMania a very special one. In terms of the tweets, I did send out 2 polls after WrestleMania that I want to get to. Unfortunately, I didn't have my notes ready because I was having a very busy afternoon after work, so bear with me as I take a little bit of time to find the first poll. All right, here's the first poll. Like I said, I thought that was a great Raw, but I wanted to see what you guys thought of the Raw. And out of 24 votes, 46% of you gave it 3 flame emojis. 42% gave it 3 flame, 4% gave it 2, and some moron, or 2 morons, actually, gave it 1 flame. I want to know what those morons were thinking, but there are morons. So, if you didn't accidentally hit 1 flame, and you really intended to hit 1 flame, you're a moron. I'm sorry. But again, the majority of you, 46% of you, thought it was worthy of 4 flames. I definitely can't disagree with you there. The next poll, I hit a little snafu. I'm not going to lie, instead of setting the right timer, I set it for 24 hours. So if you want to keep voting as you're listening to this, I don't know how soon this will go up, but the poll is still active for another 5 hours and 58 minutes. But so far we have 46 votes come in for this poll, which was, what was your favorite moment of tonight's Raw after WrestleMania? And out of 3 choices, we had 3 choices here. The Revival debut, Finn Balor returns, Kurt Angle is the new GM of Raw. Out of those 3 choices, 43% of you voted that Kurt Angle being the new GM of Monday Night Raw was your favorite moment from tonight's Raw after WrestleMania. So pretty interesting to see. Originally, when I was looking at it, Finn Balor's return was in the lead, and then an influx of votes came in for Kurt Angle, so that's cool to see. Alright, so that was my Raw after WrestleMania coverage. And moving on to other things really quickly, like I said, and I'm still getting replies in terms of this. As I said in the show previously, I kind of debuted a new segment that I would like to do for every podcast episode, and it's simply called Agree or Disagree. And I put out a topic, I give you my thoughts on the topic, and I want to see if you agree with my line of thinking or you disagree. It's fine if you disagree. I want you to disagree and bring up a good point as to why you disagree. Because that's what's wonderful about wrestling is that, you know, it's a subjective form of entertainment. Subjective meaning what you like, another person might not like or might enjoy. What you enjoy, another person might not. You know, stuff like that, vice versa. But it's okay. It's okay to have different opinions on this form of entertainment, and no opinion is wrong as long as it's not an asshole opinion. If it's a decent opinion as to why you don't like this person's work in comparison to someone else who likes another person's work, that's fine. I'm not going to get mad if you disagree with me. I would actually want you to disagree with me, but I want you to bring, you know, a valid point as to why you disagree with me. And basically, last week's, or was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday's recap, the last episode in pertaining to WrestleMania, what I wanted to know is if you agree or disagree. If you listen to the show, you heard me say that I thought Randy Orton kind of phoned it in. You know, he was kind of just going through the motions, and Randy Orton has a tendency to do that. And I felt like his match lacked that sort of, okay, this is a WrestleMania match. Not only is it a WrestleMania match, but it's a WrestleMania match for a world title. I didn't see the urgency there. I didn't see him wanting to go the extra mile to put on the best show. And I'm just saying that as a fan, so I don't mean any disrespect like that. But I'm just saying, as a viewer, person watching at home, for me, it seemed like he was just kind of going through the motions, or as they call it, phoning it in. But I wanted to know, did you guys feel the same? Did you think the same watching the match? Because I know the match itself was kind of highly scrutinized for kind of being underwhelming. But according to you guys, first up we have Steve Dawson, my good friend Steve, who you can follow on Twitter at Top Rope Elbow. He says he disagrees with me. He did phone it in on Sunday. He disagrees with me that he phoned it in on Sunday. He does agree with me that he phones it in far too often. It's like he only gives a shit for 6 months of the year. So Steve here says he doesn't think he phoned it in on Sunday, but he can see where people might think that he phones it in often, and he only seems to care, like Steve said, 6 months out of a year. So, you know, I can't disagree there. King Bingus, who you can follow, my buddy Tony, at King Bingus, he agreed with me. He says, yep, he thinks that he phoned it in. The match was the match was not a championship match. Wasn't a bad match, just not championship. Lacked the excitement. And you know, that's a valid good point as well. Maybe to some they enjoyed the match, but it didn't give them that excitement of a WrestleMania match. Moving on, who else replied to that? Oh, okay. At Retro P Wrestling. Make sure you get that right. Retro Pro Wrestling, which you can follow on Twitter, at Retro P Wrestling, says, something was definitely off with that match. Randy won the big one, and it felt like he'd won a stick of gum for all it seemed to matter. There you go. That's no better way to sum it up. He won the big match, but to him, it just seems like, as Retro Pro Wrestling says here, it looked like he won a stick of gum. That's a great way to put it, and I can't seem to disagree. So I want to hear, even if you want to chime in your thoughts, if you're listening to this now, say, hey, I heard you talk about this, wanted just to give my thoughts, please all do so. I'll give you the ways you can do that in just a second here, but I wanted to bring up a new agree or disagree segment to the podcast today, and that segment has to deal with the returning Finn Balor. Finn Balor was always a guy that I saw, not only Finn Balor himself, but when he would transform into this demon character, I said, that's it. That's the thing. That's him. Not only is he great, not only does he have the potential to be one of the all-time greats, but the demon thing, that's the thing. That's the thing that's going to set him apart from the greats. And that's going to be his thing that was his. He brought it, and the crowd fell in love with it. And, you know, that's how they gravitated towards him. Now, coming back last night, he didn't have the demon gimmick. It was just him himself, you know, with his little leather jacket. But the crowd reaction was just, it was just crazy crowd reaction for Finn Balor. They were loud. They were doing the hand signal thing for him, following every one of his mannerisms. It was just one of those things that it gave me the sort of same vibe it did when I saw John Cena come down to the ring to face Kurt Angle. Just looking at the guy, you were like, oh, this guy could be something. And Finn Balor, even without the demon makeup, you look at him and you see his presence and you see his charisma and you see how he just has the adulation of the crowd definitely on his side, you could just see that he has it. Now, when I say it, this is the part I want to see if you guys agree with me or disagree with me. When I say it, I believe that in due time, Finn Balor can be said in the same breaths as guys like Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Daniel Bryan, guys who were not, maybe not meant to be in that role that they were put into and that they excelled at and that they became all-time greats with, but the simple fact that the crowd loved them so much and the crowd got behind them caused them to kind of shift their ideals on the said person, and that carried them on to astronomical heights to be one of the greatest of all time. I feel like Finn Balor has that potential, that he can be that guy that not only WWE says, you know, he's a main event guy, he's a guy that we could put a title around, he's a guy we can build a company around, he can be that guy that's the wrestler in the ring, but also we could put out, you know, to do media appearances, and he's the guy that's going to make WWE look great. Finn Balor looks great, he's a great wrestler, he has a great gimmick, he's fan-friendly, you know, I've never heard a bad word said about Finn Balor, he's just everything you would want, but he also has that presence. Only certain few people can not say anything, but walk down the ramp into the ring and you go, oh man, that guy's a big deal. Finn Balor just, to me, has that presence. So basically what I want to know if you guys agree or disagree with me, is Finn Balor the next it guy? And when I say it guy, I don't mean like, you know, like a Bray Wyatt or something like that. I mean like an it guy, like it guy Rock, it guy Stone Cold Steve Austin, it guy Daniel Bryan, it guy Shawn Michaels, an it guy that you could say this guy was one of the greatest of all time and he stood alone when it comes to doing what he does. So I want to find out if you guys agree or disagree with me. So with that said, it looks like that's going to be the end of the recap for Raw after WrestleMania on the Piledriver podcast. So why not give you guys some information on to how to get in touch with me if you want to be a part of the podcast. Now, when I say be a part of the podcast, I mean interact with me, because this podcast doesn't do so great when you guys don't interact with me and lend your voices and lend your opinions to the podcast to put out great content. And that's the whole point of this podcast, is to kind of, I can be the vessel, no matter what your opinion is, I can be the vessel because I'm willing to put it out there and put my nasally whiny voice out there for the people to listen to. So all I'm asking for, if you like the podcast, if you dislike the podcast, let me know. Let me know things that you would like to, you know, hear, thoughts on anything that's going on in the world of professional wrestling. If you have a question that you kind of want to get my opinion on, please do so. That's fine with me. If you have your own opinion that you want to voice, as long as it's not terribly too offensive, I would gladly do that for you. All you have to do is get in touch with me via social media. Social media is the easiest way to connect with me and to interact with me. I always have my cell phone, obviously, just like everybody else. I have my cell phone on me 24/7, so it's not like I'm not going to see your message or anything like that. But social media is the easiest way to get in touch with me. If you want to get up-to-the-minute thoughts on everything that's happening in professional wrestling, whether it be news, rumors, funny things, historical stuff, the best way to do it is to hop on Twitter. And if you have a Twitter account, go ahead and give me a follow, at WrestlingChron. That's at Wrestling, C-H-R-O-N. Again, that's where you get up-to-the-minute thoughts. You can shoot me a reply there. If we follow each other, you can shoot me a DM, whatever, and we'll interact that way. If you want another way, you can reach me on Facebook, facebook.com/The Wrestling Chronicle. There, I do a lot more historical stuff, not necessarily just what's going on in wrestling today, but different historical things like on this day and stuff like that. That's enjoyable for all wrestling fans. So if you would like that stuff to be on your Facebook newsfeed, just go ahead and go to facebook.com/The Wrestling Chronicle. Give me a like, and there you can send me a message as well. If you want to get some opinions on the podcast and things of that nature, let me know what you want to see. If different segment ideas that we can kind of introduce to get other people involved. And if you want to do so anonymously, if you want to get in touch with me anonymously, you can just email me, and doing so, you go to send an email to piledriverpod@gmail.com. I'll get your message and I'll respond to you any which way I can and get your voice heard on this podcast. Because again, like I just said, this podcast doesn't do so well without your interaction. So I need you guys to help me get the best podcast I possibly can out there. So please interact with me. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Like it, comment it. If you can, share it. You know, retweet it if you have the time. Please. And I thank you to everyone who's been such a loyal listener. And I really get to see how many people are very in tune with the podcast and very in tune of what I'm doing here. So I thank you guys for checking that out. And, you know, thank you for always trying to spread the word with the Piledriver Podcast. Not only that, but for the WrestlingChronicle.com as well. With that said, I think it's time for me to sign off. I don't want to bore you guys too much. I'm probably going to do a show for the SmackDown Live after WrestleMania, which takes place tonight in about 2.5 hours. I'm probably going to bring back a podcast for that. And if it goes well, maybe we'll have more podcasts in the future, weekly, you know, 2 or 3 podcasts a week. If I don't, you know, drown myself in all of these things that I have going on, we have more stuff going on for more content for the Wrestling Chronicle and other avenues, which we'll get planning to. We're in like the pre-production stages, and we'll get that settled right away. I think we have a production meeting tomorrow, a conference call. Yes, it's serious business, folks. This is serious business, what we have going on for the Wrestling Chronicle and what we have going on for the podcast for your ears. And it's all because we love professional wrestling. I love professional wrestling. I love interacting with professional wrestling fans. So if you consider yourself a professional wrestling fan, please get in touch with me. Let's hang out. Let's have a chat about pro wrestling. So thank you again for checking out the show. I'll be back with another episode. Like this podcast, subscribe to the podcast, comment on the podcast, share the podcast, love the podcast, go to sleep with the podcast. Do it all, but do it all out of love for wrestling. All right, guys, you have a good one, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.